We ask Austin, what's the vibe around the Chargers in the wake of Brandon Staley and Tom Telesco being let go last week? Where does Austin see his football future in 2024 and beyond? And what lessons can we learn from this past season? All that and more coming up on Eckler's Edge. Let's get into it. It's Wednesday, December 20th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to Eckler's Edge, presented by Toyota, part of the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day. I mean, it's always a hell of a day to talk ball, but today, especially, it's a hell of a day to talk ball. And joining me to do just that is LA Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Austin, coming off a very quiet week. Nothing going on in your world. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, you know, just normal week and, you know, actually quite the opposite, actually, unfortunately. I think, Coach Staley, he actually said it really well after the game. He said, we are experiencing the ugly side of the NFL. And I think that is very, very true. Obviously, there's been a ton of stuff going on around us. We got destroyed on Thursday Night Football. And then, you know, Brandon and Tom Telesco, our GM, ended up getting let go that next day. So, It's been a lot. And then we, you know, we have our new interim, you know, positions for those. And so it's been a whole bunch of stuff going on. Actually quite the opposite.
Yeah, quite the opposite. It has been an eventful week for the Chargers since it's been an eventful week for everybody since we last spoke. So I'm just curious, obviously, like, take us in to what happened. Obviously, Thursday's result was not what you want to see, to put it lightly, and then obviously everything that happened after that.
Yeah, I mean, we can start with the game. The game, it was one of those games where it seemed like anything you did, it was not working. It was just one of those, like, the old saying, when it rains, it pours. And so that's what it felt like. Didn't have any doubts going into the game. Didn't feel like we didn't prepare enough. Like, as far as, like, offensively, I was like, because I'm on the offensive side of the ball, but I'm like, okay, like, we're good to go. Like, let's go. We got a good day game plan. Let's go out and execute. Obviously, we're missing some of our key guys. Justin and Keenan were out of the game. But I don't think it was necessarily the lack of talent that was, like, really putting us in the game. It was the damn turnovers. Like, the turnovers were coming in floods. Sacks, fumbles. The one of the most incredible plays I've seen as far as on a turnover pick six, throwing me a screen and buddy's coming off the edge and one hand snags it. And that's like, you know, this is late in the game too. It's like, come on. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this on top of it. So it's just one of those games. And, you know, it's really hard to really express the emotion because there's so much that's going. There's anger, there's confusion, but there's also a sense of, like, we got to make sure we stay together. Make sure that we're connected and not letting this get out of hand as far as emotionally on the sideline and things like that, especially as a captain on the team, right? Trying to keep as much as I can, trying to keep people moving forward and really not really caring about what the score is and just kind of just playing for the sake of ourselves and our pride and making sure that, hey, like, we let's finish this game. And we're not looking good in this one, but let's finish it. Let's get through it. Let's keep our heads up that way. And then we can figure it out after. The game was clearly terrible for us. Post that, then that's when, you know, the coaching and stuff started happening, right? So us as players, if we start transitioning to the organization's decisions, we don't know about any of this stuff. Like, they're not calling us up and being like, hey, this is what happened. You know, like, I'm finding out from, like, Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that, that Tom and Brandon had been let go. And, you know, it's something that I've never had to deal with in any of my years playing football, where you actually, you know, get rid of a head coach, you know, during the season. And so, It sucks because, you know, I've been with Brandon and Tom's the reason I'm even here talking to you guys today, you know, because Tom's a guy that's, you know, has the biggest part setting that 90-man roster. And he decided to put me on there, number three, Austin Eckler, back in the day, a few years ago. And so just my relationship with Tom over the years has been pretty tight because of that. And, you know, he obviously believed in me again to bring me back for another contract. And then, you know, the success that I've been able to have with Brandon on the back half of my career as well. And it sucks that because no one ever thought it would come down to what we're going through right now. Just because we believed in each other, we shown each other that, hey, yeah, we have what it takes. We can make playoff runs. We did two consecutive years, at least giving ourselves a chance at that last game to get in. One, we were in. One, you know, we ended up falling short, but no one really saw this coming, which is why it really sucks. And just because you have so much respect for these men, right? These people, like these are people out here, these are like your coworkers, you know? And these are not just coworkers that, I just see every once in a while. Like, we spend so much time together trying to perfect, right, what we're trying to put on the field, trying to figure out how it's going to work better, you know, going through the off season and, you know, keeping in touch. And so it really does suck, just on a personal level. And then I know this is a business and this is the business side. And I know the organization even had respect for both of them. You know, Tom's been there for 10 years. So, you know, they had a good relationship, and it's, you know, I know it wasn't an easy decision for them either, but I think it was just one of those where it's like, I respect you as a man, but like, we just want to go in a different direction as an organization is kind of how I felt the move was. And you know, so it is what it is. It's the ugly side of football. And we're going through it, and, you know, we feel the heat from every single direction. We've been feeling the heat all year from media, from sports betting, from, you know, everybody, other teams and things like that. And so, you know, we can get into that. I've learned a lot. You learn a lot about people around you when you're not in the glam and not having all the success. You know, you learn that there's a lot more people that you thought had your back that are actually, they don't, because they're not hitting you up after games anymore, things like that. You know, there's a lot of people, even fans too, that are quick to switch even when it's not going well. You know, and so, you know, there's people that I hold close to me, and that's what I've learned as far as personally. And then you also learn that the business of NFL, right, is not safe for anybody. It is straight production or you get out of there. And so this is my last year of the contract here. I have no idea what's going to happen with me because I still got 3 games left, and we can get into that a little bit later. But keeping it on this situation, yeah, I've also learned that you know, in the fantasy space, in the sports betting space, that it's like a seesaw. You know, you remember like back in the day in elementary school where it's a seesaw where it's like either good and you're on this side, everyone's piled on, or bad and everyone's just like attack mode, you know, to the point where, you know, I've shut my comments off. I'm like, y'all don't get the right to talk to me anymore like this. Like, this is a disaster. I think people can learn too that have followed just my journey that, you know, sports are still competitive, and it's not just, oh, this person's been good in the past, they're going to go out there and be good. And especially in the game of football, where it is such a team game, where if the team looks different or if for whatever reason isn't clicking the same, you can have a lot of the same players, but guess what? It might not turn out the way you want to. And so, learning to deal with loss is something that I've had to do a lot, you know, just over my competitive year of playing so many different sports. But a lot of people on the outside of sports can't really handle it. So, I've felt that. But then, you know, just as a player and as a captain, I've also learned that it's important for myself, being an organization, but just being in any team, like even my internal team, just to keep the morale and keep people focused on the vision. And it's not always results. Yeah, we want results, but I think there's a lot of stuff that goes into building your team, the camaraderie, right? The mental toughness, right? How we do things day to day. A lot of those substances that are so important that actually translate to the results. You know, if you use it in the football terms, there's a lot of X's and O's that we can go and have the perfect plays and stuff like that. But there's more substance that needs to be focused on that will help you actually execute those things at a high level. So as a leader, making sure that those things are tightened up and we're actually practicing those things, you know, a ton, and making sure that's a part of the plan as we go forward as a team and whatever team that I'm in, whether it's football or even my personal team, I think that's important. That's what I've learned, because you can have a vision and that's great, but the results, they might not come just because, hey, well, this guy didn't really believe. So he was just checking a box and didn't really tell you about this thing that actually would have helped. Or, hey, he actually was just 1 foot out the door. Like you missed those things. And when you have too much of those, like death by a thousand cuts, and eventually it's going to bleed out and, you know, you're going to have to move on and it's going to hit you all at once. And you're gonna be like, whoa, what the heck? So I digress there. That's kind of just where I've been as far as what I've learned from kind of the situation with the game, you know, transition after. It's not fun. I'll tell you that right now. Having to go through all of this, you know, coaching changes, right? Like I said, so much respect. Obviously this season has not been great either. That's not been fun. And it tests you. It tests you mentally. Absolutely. And I'll end with this because I think we all go through this, you know, at some point in our life, maybe some more than others, but especially as an athlete, when you're in the spotlight and you have expectations and there's narratives and there's media keeping you accountable and all of this stuff and sports betting. I'm not in a place where it's like, this is not right. Like things like that. Like I'm fortunate for what has happened. Not in a sense where I like it, but I'm fortunate because it's given me an opportunity to continue to push through something, right? Where this is an opportunity where I've been tested mentally, physically, and emotionally and on many different occasions. But guess what? I've continued to stay strong and I'm continuing to look forward to staying strong and looking forward to continuing to pushing through these last three games and then through this offseason and coming back and giving it another shot and giving it another try for the next team. Cause I think that's just going to grow for me as a person, and it's going to take me and make me a better man and a better individual going into the future in my life and leading teams. So yeah, trying to take the positive out of all of the situation and really use it to spin towards some type of productivity in my life.
I mean, a lot of great stuff and so well said. A lot to unpack there, of course, for everything.
Yeah, you don't have to unpack that. We can just leave that as it is. We can move on to the next one, unless you want to unpack and dive into something.
No, I think the thing that I want to highlight because is a couple things. One, this is beyond, like, obviously the ugly side of football, because humanity is, I mean, being alive is you got to come with some ugly things. Like, this is the human side of football, too. And it's something that, look, like, as the game is unfolding on Thursday night, you know, you see people making jokes, you see people and like, it happens. Right. But it's like, these are real people with real consequences. And like, I think what you just said about Tom Telesco is great to, you know, great to point out, because I can on the outside sit here and be like, well, you know, like, man, this move didn't work out. You know, this dude didn't work out. Like, all right, time to move on from the guy. Right. But like, this is a person that, like you said, we're only having this conversation, me and you, right now. We only know each other, like the other person exists because of that opportunity that you earned, and then obviously mm-hmm. he cemented by putting you on that roster. And like, by the way, I'm sure your relationship with Tom Telesco is obviously for this offseason maybe a little complicated because of how things went with the, you know, contract negotiations and all this stuff. But like, that is real life. That is humans like interacting, and like, it's not just always smooth sailing, man. So I think these are really good things for fans to hear and see highlighted, because, you know, it's just part of the game that is the human side of it.
Yeah. And it sucks too, because within the human side too, there's also, you know, things that you can't predict, right? Like if we took the same team, we basically have the same team from last year that we have this year. Like, there's not a lot of changes besides Joe Lombardi, our offensive coordinator. But as far as like the pillars in the team, it's pretty much the same team. So, you know, on the outside, you'd be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm expecting some type of, you know, similar results, or at least something around that result, hopefully better, right? We're trying to be ambitious in the organization. Hopefully it's better.
Look at Kellen Moore's numbers from the offense in Dallas. Like, now they're going to bring that and they're going to bring it to LA, and it's like only better.
Yeah. And so going back to the human side is that you can only control what you can control, you know? And so that's one of those things where it's tough as a coordinator, because it's like, as a GM, is because you put the players together and like, they have had success, like they've done it. So, you know, there's success in that team, and it's the same team. And now you're getting punished because the guys didn't perform to the level that you've seen them perform at, you know? And so it's like, dang, like it's tough. It's a tough decision for the organization there. And same thing with the head coach. Like, we've seen us go out there and perform. But it clearly wasn't, you know, this year has been, you know, like flipped on its head, and it's like, whoa. And I think there's a lot that kind of heightens that. And there's pressure from the fans, there's pressure from the media. And then now the organization's feeling the heat. And so they feel it, because they're also people too. They're emotional. Yeah. They're like, oh, what the heck is happening? They know, they're kind of like, you know, blindsided by what's going on. So all of these decisions, you know, have consequences on human life. And so, you know, I saw this thing, you never want to celebrate someone getting fired because that affects them and their family. And so that's one thing that, you know, I 100% agree with, because I see a lot of, you know, in the media, like, oh, it had to be done. Like, it did not have to be done in the way it was. Is it right or wrong? That's not for me to say. That's for the organization. But, you know, still just remember, like, that's an individual. And then also on the flip side, I was also talking to Joshua Kelly today, one of our other running backs. I was like, you know, this is just a part of just life in general. You know, you're going to go through some ruts and maybe you'll get fired. Maybe get fired a couple times. And I was like, JK, for us to even be here, people had to get fired for us to be here because we have the jobs now. Yeah. You know, so we have the job. So it, and guess what? Is your situation better than it was before you were here? Well, for us, yeah, because we were in college trying to find a job and now this is our job. So it's like, there's actually, you know, if you look at the bright side of things, this is a new opportunity for us to use what we've learned, go and apply it, and maybe you'll end up in a better situation than you currently were. And that's what I was kind of getting at the end, where I'm like, really, I'm thankful for this opportunity. It's not that I wanted it, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to now grow through some hard times, some cloudiness in my future, because you never know what's going to be. And so I can tell you what, though, I tell you, I'm going to put everything I can into making it better than what it's been, you know, during this time. So yeah, man, it's wild life. This is all life.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, honestly, like, you know, there were some, I'm sure I can say this on the podcast, it's out there in the public, but like, there were layoffs at Yahoo recently, right? And it's like, these are people you work with, right? And, yeah, and like, you know, it's not your decision. And this happens in the real world too, you know, and it's tough to deal with and it's tough to kind of process. But like you said, I mean, I'm only hosting this podcast because like somebody else is not, right? And I say this, yep, all the time about like working in the fantasy industry, there, it's really easy to like, it's a big house. There's a lot of room in the house to like create content and contribute and be there. But there are very few like seats at the table. And what I mean by that is like, this is all I do. That's it. I just talk about football all day. I mean, there's more that goes into my job than that, right? Of course. But it's like, that's a pretty rare opportunity. And same thing at running back. Like, you know, you can get it. You can play football, but like, can you get it to the NFL? Can you get to the NFL and then become like a superstar productive player like you? You got to work for those opportunities. And then when you see that like challenged in any way, whether that's, you know, on-field results or that's, you know, me doing this little job here, you got to like fight to be that every single day, right? Like you got to put that, yep, effort in. And I will just say to kind of close that here, you know, you mentioned like people, the toxicity and stuff like that can come out of not performing to expectations. You know, again, during the game, a lot of people are, you know, tweeting at me like, man, it's going to be a rough, you know, episode with Austin next week. And I even said this on Twitter. I was like, you know what? I will just say this to Austin's credit. It is easy to come on here, buddy, and do this show, Eckler's Edge, when you are like the best freaking running back in the NFL and like producing crazy numbers, you know, mm-hmm, and you're winning people fantasy championships and all that stuff. And whether you want to say it or not, I'll say it for you. It definitely cannot be as easy and as fun to come on this show when you're not meeting those expectations, right? So I will just say, to credit you, you have never come on this show with like a bad attitude or like anything like that. You've come and given this show everything that you've got. And I mean, this is the last episode of the regular season. I should have said that up top, but we'll be doing something in the playoffs, whatever. But like, I want to just give you props for, you know, what things have not gone the way you wanted or any of us wanted on the field. But I think we've had a great, you know, year on this show. And that is because you have come in here, even in and disadvantageous situations around you, and made it what it is. So, you know, yeah, that's
absolutely
a credit to you.
I appreciate that. And, you know, it goes back to kind of have my same mindset. I won't go on a tangent here, but my same mindset of, hey, like it's cloudy. How can you stay poised? How can you stay in a place where you can continue to try to push through this, even though you have so many people trying to hang on you and trying to pull you down? And it goes back to, you know, what I was saying about, I think I talked about Kobe, you know, talking, yeah, to us on here.
Focus
it goes
on
back.
Gazelle.
For, and just continue, like there's a lot of stuff in the way and stuff that even might come and block your view, and now you don't know where you're going. Like right now, I have a free agent after this year. I have no idea what's after these next three games for myself as a football player in the NFL. And so here's the thing. I'm still trying to stay focused. I'm trying to get to where I can get some type of vision. And I'm just keeping a level head because, you in my opinion, you don't want to get too high. You don't want to get too low. You want to just continue to progress as a person and absolutely appreciate both sides. When it's good, I appreciate it. When it's bad, I also appreciate it. I appreciate them from different things. And it doesn't mean I have to be jolly and happy if things are going well. No, I'm actually frustrated. I wish things were going better. It's not good. And so I'm trying to get back to the good. But I do appreciate the opportunity because it is going to test me as a human. And that's what I want. I want to continue to get stronger so that I can try to avoid these situations as much as I possibly can. So I appreciate the respect though. Because you're right. It's not like, the 30 point game. Yeah. thanks. Pat myself on the back. I had 7 points, and people are just attacking me from everywhere. And so I digress, but I appreciate the respect, man.
Nah, listen, it's like I said, it's appreciated on my side of it, because this would suck if this was if this was with some other player or whatever that was not going to come in here and make this an enjoyable experience. This show has still been, I think we've been better this season than we were last year from a show perspective, because a lot of that comes back to you putting in the work and studying some of these guys and really giving us great insight on this on some of these players. And I mean, hey, you got to. Whatever happens in the NFL, you got a bright future ahead of you as a podcaster. So there's that. You've made a lot of progress on that. So listen, the Chargers, we'll see what happens. Obviously, you'll play out the rest of the season. I'm definitely interested to see what happens with the next year. So you definitely want to play football next year and want to keep going at this thing.
It's so hard for me to tell, man. It really comes down to what's the opportunity. I want to have the best opportunity for myself. And does that lie in football? Does that lie somewhere else? Because whatever I put myself into, I'm going to be all in. And just like I am right now, it consumes me. And I'm talking to my fiance and I'm like, there's this thing where it's like, okay, which way do I lean into football? Do I lean into going into post career? And it really comes down to what's the situation? How does this look for us? Is it a 1-year deal? Is it a 2-year deal? Like what are we trying to do here? Is the money good? Or people like, nope, Austin, you're washed. Like this is going to be a real life for me. It's like, oh no, actually it was kind of like a fluke year. The season didn't really go well. Like there's some circumstances you couldn't control, things like that. So these would be the conversations that we'll be having with GMs and putting out there. But like, if we find a good situation, then absolutely coming back and tearing it up again. So, and the running back market is also wild too. We've talked about it on here before. The guys that are going to be flooding into the market here after this year. So who knows? Who knows? All I know is that if I do find a place and I have an advantageous opportunity to come and actually come compete and make sure that, hey, they want you to be here. And it's not just like, hey, maybe come try to make, the team, maybe on practice squad type of thing. Then absolutely. Let's run it. Let's do it.
Yeah. I can't wait to see what happens. It'll be fun. And we'll definitely have a more extended version of this conversation later on. And either way, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be fun to see whatever you do next, man. Cause I know you're going to crush it, whether it's, in the NFL and like a different role or just whatever, or your business or hey, again, podcasting buddy. I think you got a pretty good thing going.
Look, I got some other things going in the works too. In my opinion, just as me and with my side hustle, I'm thinking here in the next, by this time next year, my side hustle, my experience app will be taking over the NIL space and adding structure to that entire market. So there's like things like that are going on, right? That I have a whole team that runs that. But so I'm all over the place, but when it comes to like my attention, it's like, where is it going to go? It kind of leads with wherever that the biggest light is. There's opportunity all over. Can you identify it? Can you take advantage of it? And which one do you want to put your effort into? And in football, guess what? I can't play that forever. But Matt, I can go do these side hustles for the rest of my life. So if I still have some youth left in me, and I absolutely do, and want to go out there and continue to play ball, and there's an opportunity to do that, like I'm going to take advantage of it.
Well, like I said, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I can't wait to find out. So we talked a little bit so far about kind of like lessons learned from your particular situation and a lot what you have taken from the year that was 2023, the season that was 2023. I'm curious, and I know I brought some to the table. I'm curious if you've learned any other lessons like watching the NFL this year as a whole, just kind of generally.
Ooh, put on the spot. Lessons from the year in general.
And it can be taken from your own experience or whatever, doesn't matter. But like, I'm, you know, talking beyond just your own individual performance.
Yeah. You know, I think the, I think we get reminded of this. This is just kind of a, like a general thing that we're reminded about every year. And now that we've added another game, like the games in the very beginning of the season, like they're meaningful, yes, but really doesn't start mattering until about halfway through. And then towards like now at the end of the season where like,
yeah,
there's teams like, I remember like the Broncos, for example, these guys got beat like 70-20 or whatever it was. And it was like, oh, Russell Wilson and the Broncos. And now, right, they're in front of us in the division. And now they're going, you know, to make a playoff run type of thing. And so it's like the football, football is so wild. And you know, we really are passionate about it as fans and people that watch and in the fantasy world. Same with the fantasy teams where there's just waves. There's just waves. So don't be too quick to judge. And don't be, I know it's short term because it's like once a week we finally get this rush of, you know, dopamine. It's like, yeah, and you wanted everything to be perfect. You know, I think it's one of those things that, hey, make sure you stay patient, stick with your guys. And guess what? Look, at the end of the season, there's only going to be one team that wins the Super Bowl. And so I really hope people appreciate not just, you know, the teams that go out there and play, regardless if they win or lose, just are really appreciative of what this sport does for the nation and it brings us all together. And so hopefully, even if your team doesn't do well, like we haven't, like hopefully you still appreciate, you know, the boys going out there and giving it everything they could and what they're doing for us as just a country and continuing to make this game so enjoyable to watch and be around, regardless if your team is good or not. We've still got fans that show up. So, and that also taught me, I guess, something that I appreciate, you know, our fan base and how loyal these people are, because that's pretty special. But also I think it's important to, you know, for younger players, it's another thing that we're reminded of. It takes these young guys a little bit to get going sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it might even take a couple years. You know, I'm actually pulled it up, but Derrick Henry, his first 2 years, he wasn't even starting. Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, he's gone on a tear ever since he started starting after his first 2 years. And his third year, he started getting more of the starting reps, started 12 games there. And so like, let's chill out with some of these like hard takes and this person's that. I think what I've learned this, I guess in general then, if we want to sum this all up is, hey, be patient, right? Be patient with the NFL. Not too patient. Yeah, I definitely get it. The emotions go, you want to see some results and things like that, but don't be too quick to jump the gun when it comes to the NFL. Cause it is, you know, in terms of playing a longer season, in terms of meaningful games that actually mean something down at the end.
Yeah, we can certainly be prisoners of the moment, that's for sure. And it's one thing to say like, hey, this is what, and I always try to say this when I'm giving analysis, like, well, this is what the guy is right now. Okay, this is what he is right now. Does that mean that that's forever? I don't know. The only time when you finally get that answer is when the entire league as a whole has decided, like, you know, this guy can't play anymore or something like that. Like,
right.
If players get, like, Derrick Henry's a great example. Obviously, this is not what happened. But if, like, he plays out his contract in Tennessee, he does nothing the whole time, he gets to free agency and nobody signs him, well, then there's your answer. Like, that's where he is at this point. But as long as the guy's out there getting opportunities, you know, maybe things can change. So it's hard to not be – it's like – it's a balance of being honest about what you're seeing versus leaving open the opportunity that things can change. Because I have seen that, like with guys that I have been out on or guys that I've been a big fan of. Sometimes it takes, I always come back to Brandon Ayuk with the 49ers, right? In 2021, I was so in on the Brandon Ayuk second year leap. Like it was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And then he comes out in the first 6 weeks, he's barely even playing because there's like a doghouse situation there. Or whatever. And let me tell you what, Austin, I was not having fun going on podcasts that year either, because that was like my guy. And then I'm like, yo, I didn't even know that this was going to happen. There was no like press, you know, reporting that he was in the doghouse or any of this stuff. So it's just like, I'm sitting here looking in the mirror like, do I suck at this? Like, am I bad at my job? But then eventually he gets out there and he's become the player that now we know today. He's like a top 12 receiver in fantasy. He's blocking his ass off out there. So sometimes it takes a minute for these things to happen.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I won't get into that. It's on. Never mind. Good.
What?
I was going to say this media, man. Media, and not just from our team, but like when I see all these headlines and it's like it's all the controversial stuff, which like, I feel like it's more so now than it ever has been. Maybe because we have all this short form stuff and people want to go instantly viral, but mm-hmm. like it's all of this stuff about like, what Pat Mahomes said about after the ref. And like, it's like, ah, guys, can we really? And now like, oh, he's lost his character. And oh, like this person, he doesn't know how to take it. And he's a crybaby. And it's like, oh, and then, oh, this guy flopped. And now is he a flopper now? What does that say about him as a person? And it's like, this is wild that we got these so-called like professionals like making these strong takes. And because now that changes the whole reputation of this person. Right now you got people that are listening because so many people listen to this BS, and it's like now there's a whole narrative around, oh, this person, you know. Even it's even happened to me, you know, like with Brandon. It was like someone asked me like, hey, do you guys still, and I was like, my choice, I had like this response, and they clipped out like, I don't have a choice. And it was like, oh, yeah, Austin doesn't have a choice, he doesn't care about his head coach, he doesn't have a feeling. And it's like, now there's this whole narrative around, and it kind of leaks into the locker room. And it's almost like, gosh, like what did Kobe say? The gazelle. But yeah. Man, it's impossible not to, because it's on ESPN. It's on TikTok. It's on Instagram. It's on, you know, there was a week where we were playing. We were playing the Packers, and had my ankles taped, and my ankles were feeling it. And I had to like run down the sideline, and I couldn't get up on my toes because the way my ankles were taped. And it's like, looks like Austin's running in slow motion. Oh, he's washed. He's so much older now.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because I mean, that went like crazy viral. It's like crazy people pulling out viral. Like your next gen stats, like speed or whatever. Like, oh, his top speed is 13 miles an hour.
I'm like, come on. Like I could run 13 miles an hour on one leg kind of thing, you know? And then, you know, now I'm like, Am I slow? And then I go get the GPS, and the next day I hit 20.7 miles per hour running. And I'm just like, there's all these narratives that are all over the place. And it's like, it's tough, because as a player, I don't want to rebuttal, because then I have to get into this argue match with someone that doesn't matter. But the thing that does matter is it's driving all of these different opinions about me as an individual. And it might be right or wrong or right, but I don't have any input on it. It's just someone speculating. And because this person is respected, now that becomes the thing. And so it's weird. It's getting weird out here in the media world. And so that's why I try to keep us in a neutral space, right? Like, let's stay neutral. All we talk about is potential. All we talk about is upside. If we're talking about someone down, it's maybe because we're comparing them to, hey, this is what they haven't done in the past. But we're not saying, oh, this person's washed. Like, we're not attacking people.
And so it's weird. Example that you just brought there with the speed stuff is a perfect example of what we do in media is like, you're working with incomplete information. Like, no one that took that clip and was like, look at Austin running like he's, you know, a damn fullback or whatever, that knew about the ankles taped up and like you couldn't get on, right? You don't know that, but you just take the unknown information and you just fill in the blanks yourself. That's what it is really like. You're right. It's the way things are about like instant virality and like, the people love to jump on negative stuff. I know for me personally, like I can't remember who I was having this conversation with recently, but I was like, honestly, it was Nate Tice, who does some work with us here at Yahoo and The Athletic. And I was like, it's honestly not even worth posting like negative opinions about like players. If you like, if you're down on a guy, it's really not even worth like posting about it. Cause you can get the like, oh wow, people love to retweet that and all that stuff. But honestly, Austin, as like someone that's paid to forecast and like make predictions and stuff, nobody gives a about you predicting somebody being terrible. Like, people don't remember that. People are generally, maybe I'm naive, but I think generally people remember you and like you make an impact when you can be like, all right, I'm early on this guy and I'm telling you he's going to be really good. And then they are really good. That I think is what you build. Like, maybe it doesn't get you 1,000 retweets or whatever, but it does get you long-term. Like,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, Matt. Like, what determines that someone has a successful podcast or a successful, show on TV? Or like, what does it come down to?
Depends on who you ask. Some people would say like, it's your ratings, it's your numbers.
Exactly. So what is driving this isn't just sports, this is across the board with media. What's driving our motivation to create content isn't having the best content. It's having the most clickable, the most watchable content, not the most accurate. And so that's where now it's so in the sports world, because now we have all these pop-up right, analyst of like, oh, now this person's randomly doing shows on, you know, TikTok, on this thing, on that thing. And they have no insight to anything besides what they're reading from a journalist that did a some type of, you know, thing or some type of video they watched. And so the truth and the things that get filled in are there's more and more of that as, right, you get further away from the source. And, you know, now that things can go viral, it just can taint your reputation so easily now. And so I think it's just like, man, some of the stuff that we're covering is such nonsense, and the nonsense is what leads to negative, you know, just, you know, perceptions about people because they did one thing that maybe someone didn't like and they blew it out of proportion. And it's now it's like, oh, this person's a crybaby. And it's like, they did one thing out of their 7 years playing in the league that you didn't like. And now that someone has a perception on that person because they saw that because it was so viral because it went everywhere. So yeah, it's maybe I'm just ranting here. That's
no,
another thing.
That's fine. You're allowed to rant on your own podcast, buddy. I will just say that. I mean, that's what podcasting is. Turn on the mics and just start ripping. I don't know. That's the job. I will say, if we're talking about like one thing I've learned from this year to spin it positive.
Yeah, give me something, please.
When we're talking about filling in the blanks, like, I think if you're trying to predict player performance or you're trying to, you know, you're trying to win your fantasy league, something like that, you can really benefit by leaning into the unknown. And I'll specifically talk about running backs here, right? Because there's a value of not even worrying like, you know, we haven't seen it for this guy, like in a committee or something like that. I'll bring up two examples from this year. One, Raheem Mostert. Also, don't discount old guys. Older
31.
Player, Raheem Mostert. 31 years old.
31.
Ancient. Younger than me, actually. That's a great tweet recently. Sports announcers saying like, look at this guy, the oldest player in the league. Wow, can't believe he's even out there, and he's like 32 or something like right. that. Like, meanwhile, yikes. Let's not talk about that. Anyways, Raheem Mostert, guy that had never, you know, really done it over the long stretch of the season. If you focused on that part of it, you probably were like, you know what? This will fizzle out eventually. I'm going to sell Raheem Mostert high in fantasy or something like that after a first couple of big weeks. Well, now this guy scored 20 touchdowns this year. He never even scored 20 touchdowns in his entire career coming to this year. Another example, Kyren Williams from the Rams, who we've talked about on the show. He's a guy that was relative unknown, was not expected to start for the Rams this year. Again, if you dug a little deeper, you would have seen like, oh, this is a guy that Sean McVay actually really liked. They wanted to have a big role last year, but he got injured. But can he hold up to a whole workload, stuff like that? Again, if you've pushed out that narrative, you leaned into the unknown, he's another guy that has become a top, I think he's like running back 5 overall on the season, and he hasn't even, he's running back 6 overall, and he's played 10 games. So like, what an incredible waiver pickup he's been. And he's another one that people were quick to say, don't waste your free agent money on this guy because he's never done it before, and like he's going to get replaced by another player. Soon enough, he hasn't been replaced by another player. He's one of the best running backs, one of the most productive running backs in the league this year.
Yeah, it's tough. It really is tough because you have things like that, but it's like, what perception? Like, there's going to be some type of perception, but when we're talking about things like that, right? Like, we're talking about actual football. Like, yeah, you can have maybe a not so hot take on somebody, or it's like, because of the play, hey, this person didn't play last year, maybe they got hurt, like you're thinking about those things, but it's not necessarily saying this guy is this, right? You're not pointing at this, you know, dropping these types of like names and labels on this person because of, you know, something that they couldn't control when it comes like to injuries and things like that. And then like, even same with Raheem, right? You know, it's like, it's not that he's a terrible person or anything like that. He's had some things that he can't control. So you could, as an individual, rightfully so, be like, this guy has gotten hurt a lot in the past. I'm not going to pick him up. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. Doesn't mean he's you know, this, you know, broken body type of guy. Obviously, we've seen like there's situations where people can pull through, right? It just depends on, you know, the situation that they're in and the opportunity that they get. It's an interesting landscape because there's good, there's bad, there's everything in between. You get to make your own judgment. I just hate when it tarnishes the reputation of guys. That's all I'm saying.
No, I feel you. I think the Mahomes example that you talked about is a great one. Like,
yeah,
it's like 1% of the things we've seen him done was like, have seen from him is like a outrageous thing. Like, I mean, did he react poorly after the game? Sure. But like,
yeah.
Yeah, he reacted poorly after the game.
Yeah.
Probably not what I would have done. I mean, he even said the next day, he's like, yeah, I felt bad about myself doing it. Because, dude, who among us hasn't done something and then woke up the next day and be like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have.
You overreacted. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, that one moment doesn't define you as a person. And so I would look at the entirety of someone's, career or someone's, responses and, tendencies, right? And that can label them, not one moment. But that's the world we live in with media. It is very momentarily what's happening in this moment. And what's something that's interesting? I'm going to give you the I'm going to go look at the comments. I'm actually going to DM Austin Eckler and I'm going to tell him this. I'm just like, okay, buddy. Okay.
Yeah, never read the comments, except the YouTube comments on Eckler's Edge have actually been generally very positive. Like, at least that's what the producers tell me.
Shout out to the comments that are uplifting and forward-looking. I appreciate y'all. Appreciate you guys.
Or looking back. I mean, dude, I Allen Robinson, the Steelers receiver.
Yeah.
He's on the Steelers this year. That guy, talk about like the original reception perception superstar was Allen Robinson. Like, he was one of the first big hits for reception perception back in the day.
Yeah.
The year he led the NFL in touchdowns. You know, he's not the same player anymore, right? He's not that guy leading the NFL in touchdown catches, whatever. He's obviously in a different phase of his career. I was reading this article in The Athletic, and I was like, this is such a, I mean, maybe took a little liberties with some of the other players on the team they were talking about, but I did think the part about this section of this article where talking about Allen Robinson in this phase of his career, he's like, man, I get joy from like blocking now and like just being part of like a team player. And that doesn't like get headlines, right? You know, the successful blocks that he's springing for Najee Harris or Jalen.
Yeah.
I was reading that and like, I don't know quite the feeling I had to it, but I was like, damn, obviously now, but people just like make fun of Allen Robinson now because he had like a bad year with the Rams. And it's like, did y'all forget like what he did when he was in his prime? And again, I know this is a player, like I have an attacking to because,
crazy,
whatever, but it's like, I'm almost as glad to see like, again, that example, finding joy in a different part of your career, like a different section when you're not the headliner, you're not getting, touchdowns and all this stuff. But like, you're still enjoying the game and like the process of it and the work and like just trying to win games. I don't know. I thought that was a cool like highlight of a player like that. Again, someone I really, appreciate putting RP on the freaking map. But,
look,
I
sports just think move fast. Sports move fast, Matt. It moves fast. Right. Like every single year, it's like the draft, the free agents, like who are the rookies. And it's it's very rare where you're like, Vets, like, oh, look at old guys. Like, we already know about
them,
whatever.
Look at the grinders out
there.
They don't care about us.
They don't care about us until it comes time to, like, actually get the picks going and stuff. But right now, it's like, yeah, combine. This dude ran so fast. Like, because, it makes sense, though. That's what you got to do to keep it fresh for people, right? You put them all the new stuff in front of them. Like, look at the shiny new people, So it makes sense. It makes sense. The way media moves, where it's like, hey, let's stick to the new. I just wish it was done a little bit differently, but hey, beggars can't be choosers, all that. I still want to be in doing it, but we all do it our own way.
Yeah,
we are doing our own way. Hey, we control our media, they can control theirs, and then, I guess I digress.
I just wish that we as a, not you, because you actually play in the league, but like we on the outside could keep that, like, respect towards players, like in my Discord, right? Like, that's one of the rules, is like, I don't be coming in here like trashing players or whatever because it didn't work out for your fantasy team. Like, you can save that for somewhere else, and again, guys that have been in their prime before, the end comes for everybody. Okay.
Yep.
For the end comes for all of us in all sections. Someday someone that's younger can talk better and definitely more handsome is going to take over hosting this podcast, like that's going to happen. But for now, like, I just hope that when I am washed, you guys remember me when I was in my prime, whenever that was. But hey, I do want to transition a couple of things before we get out of here. One, got to talk about the fantasy league. We are recording this episode a little earlier, so we don't know the results of Austin's matchup. If a few things go right on Monday night, he should be in a good spot. Again, since this is the last regular season episode with holidays coming up, we'll have to keep you all informed on social media as to what goes on in the Eckler's Invitational. But you did almost get you got a pretty big scare from a guy, James Cook, this week, who went up against you, buddy. and put up a 35 spot. This guy erupted for 25 carries, 179 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Two catches, 42 yards, and a score. On the season, Austin, the Bills rank second in rushing success rate. They blow out the Dallas Cowboys on the back of James Cook, not on the arm of Josh Allen. And what I thought was really interesting watching this game was just, this is a guy that looked like a regular, traditional feature back. And he has not been that. He's typically been like a change of pace guy. So I'm curious from your perspective, whether you have thoughts on James Cook specifically or just generally, how do guys go from being like a change of pace back to maybe like a full, quote, workhorse feature back?
Well, I would say from the very beginning of the season, you could see the expectations that they had for him because they were giving him the ball, right? Like, I'm looking at the first game, 12 rushes, four receptions. Like, I mean, this guy, he's getting that, like, that 15 to 25 carry range. Like, that's usually, like, that's the workload of the back. And then,
but that's a big range. 15 to 25 is kind of a wide range.
It's a big range. Yeah, it that is a wide range. But I just use that because that's, like, my range that I like to be in. So, like, and I would consider myself the workhorse until these past few weeks where we brought up Isaiah and could talk about that at a different time, maybe the next podcast, kind of what that happened right there. No, it was like, oh, this is a high draft pick. Hey, we're getting more confidence in this guy. And, you know, throughout the rest of the season, especially in these the past few weeks, you know, we've been seeing him get that opportunity. So what I think has been happening is his first year is like, okay, let's get this guy acclimated, get him, you know, just being around a pro, see how he does. I forgot who else was there. Was it Singletary that was there too?
Yep, they had Devin Singletary and Zach Moss was there for a little bit too.
They have this committee of people, of guys that, hey, they've been there, done that, have had success, right, to some level. And so now it's like, okay, now we've built up with James, where it's like, hey, now you're our guy. And now he's getting his opportunity. And when you get an opportunity, hey, like, let's go. Let's use it. And now he's, you know, been a pivotal part of the offense. You know, as you said, you know, the running game's been coming alive. We know their running game's always been alive just because, you know, Josh Allen likes to run the ball too. He's not afraid to, you know, go down and lower the shoulder as well. But
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're willing to lean on him. And I think he's been proven that, right? He's been catching the ball well. He's been running the ball well. You know, breaking tackles. I was watching that game. Obviously popped off that game, but just in general, I think he's earned those reps and that opportunity to continue to hold down the number one spot there. So looking forward to see how his career continues to progress.
You'll see the Bills on Sunday this week. That should be an interesting matchup there. Man, just what a dynamic group. Saturday. I'm all mixed up on the schedule now at this point because we got games at all different times. But yeah, you guys will see them. He's had 101 opportunities, carries and targets combined since week 10. They changed offensive coordinators in week 11, by the way. 136.8 yards from scrimmage, 4 total touchdowns. He's been on an absolute tear. Definitely one of these young backs to keep an eye on as we look for the new Austin, as we look for just the next new thing. Maybe James Cook is that guy.
Hey, I mean, he is, right? Hey, he's got a reputation to fill with the Cook family there, you know?
That's true.
His brother's been doing it for a while, you know? And so, hey, it's his turn now.
All right, man. Well, like I said, we'll see what happens with your fantasy matchup as we head into the final weeks of the season. Like I said, you got to win this league, bro, because I'm not mailing this thing to anybody else.
Well, I need a couple guys to do their job tonight, and I know they will. Who I got? I got Goddard, and then I also have Swift as well for the Eagles. So they need to clinch. What is this? 8 points. If they can get me 8 points between the two of them, it's looking good for too sexy for this league.
By the time people are listening to this, they'll know if you got those 8 points or not. So we shall see.
Yes, we shall see. You, yeah, I hope that ages well too, producer Colin.
All right, well, we have to finish this episode as we always do, Austin, with some bold predictions. All right, Austin, since we're teaming up this season with the first ever Toyota Grand Highlander, the perfect vehicle for making new memories, we're going to create some memories of our own in this segment we are calling Future Snapshots. So make me a bold prediction. Who's going to have a memorable performance this weekend?
I'm going to go with somebody that we've already been talking about on the show. Some say he's ancient. I just say he's a vet. Because, hey, if you still got it, you still got it. Raheem Mostert against the Cowboys. So he's going to have a good defense he's going against. And I'm saying he's going to go for 100 all-purpose. I'm going to stick with my 100 all-purpose yards and a touchdown. I think he's going to pop off. And they're going to get the dub over the Cowboys. So there's two bold predictions there. So that's mine. What do you got?
I will stick with somebody we've talked about this season plenty. Jahmyr Gibbs, Lions running back. Austin, I don't know if you know this, but your eyebrows are in a little bit of a tough spot here. Jahmyr Gibbs currently running back 10 on the season. David Montgomery running back 14 for the uninitiated. Austin, here's a lesson you should learn, pal. Don't ever just make a bet with yourself for no reason, with real life consequences on the internet. Okay. Austin said he would shave his eyebrows off if these guys were both top 15 backs in the season.
I learned. Ooh,
these guys are currently both top 15 backs in the season. I think it's going to get even worse for you, not for Jahmyr Gibbs. It's going to get worse on Sunday because I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to catch 7 passes for over 100 yards against the Minnesota Vikings on Christmas Eve this weekend because the Vikings blitz a ton. I think Jahmyr Gibbs, they haven't really fully unleashed him yet as a receiver. It's been actually a lot of stuff on the ground, but I think he was mostly drafted with the idea that he was going to be a receiving back. You got to get your receiving running back out there against a blitz-heavy defense. You've seen this before with this Vikings defense blitzing a ton. They're not going to be doing any pass protection stuff with him. He's going to get out there in some routes, 100 okay. yards receiving okay. for Jahmyr we'll Gibbs this weekend.
We'll see.
I know you are personally invested in that not happening, but let me tell you
what. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's already top 10, so I feel like he's going to be in. And now it's just, okay, someone else has got to bump David out.
He'll find his way into the end zone 3 more times before the season ends. But, hey, see, we're making memories here every day on Eckler's Edge. Those are our future snapshots. Thanks again to Toyota and the first ever Grand Highlander. And that is going to do it for us today. It's going to do it for the rest of the regular season, Austin. Like I said, love doing this show with you every week. It's been fantastic. I've learned a lot about football. I've learned a lot about life, and I hope everybody else has enjoyed as well. Thanks again, man.
Yeah, likewise, my friend. We still got some episodes coming, though, right? Like playoffs. Yeah. We'll be back. So this is not the last time. So I'm not saying goodbye. Just saying we'll see you in a few weeks.
See you in a few weeks. Have a happy holiday, Austin. Enjoy the rest of the NFL season. I mean, I know it's going to be weird. It's going to be different, but hey, man, you'll be out there grinding, proving it for the future. So good luck every single week, rest of the season. Stay tuned for us whenever we do come back here with Eckler's Edge in the playoffs. In the meantime, tomorrow, it's Thursday, heading into a full slate of NFL action. You know what that means. If you don't know what that means by now, I mean, come on, get a grip. It's Dalton Del John joining me for another episode of Stat Nerd Thursday, where we look at one stat you need to know. You need to know for all 32 teams. Until then, we're out.